Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, guys, welcome to War of the Words, number 107, getting it in this Sunday. Going to be talking to Johnny Williams, who has an awesome fight ahead of him. 1008, sorry. an awesome fight with Paul T coming up, which has been very talked about since this fight was announced. I think, you know, obviously he was slated to fight Mark Trader, the current number one contender, Mark Trader. Mark was injured, and in steps Paul Teague, who did a really great job, in my opinion, right up until the end. I mean, I don't think it's just my opinion. That spinning back forearm thing was pretty freaking awesome. But anyway, we got Johnny Williams on tonight. He's one of my favorite fighters in the Southeast. Couldn't say enough good things about the kid. Super nice. Super dedicated, very confident, awesome all-around guy. 5-2. It's fought David Robinson, Bam Bam Robinson. You guys know him. Submitted that him. You guys know Robert Solomon. I actually worked for Solomon Cleaning Services and Tires for Hire. Beat him by split decision at Carolina Cage Fights 13. Submitted Donald Smith a rear naked choke at the next conflict event. Then he took a unanimous decision loss against Eddie Miller. No shame in that. Eddie the Machine, Big Machine at Havoc 4. Eddie, one of the most unstoppable fighters. Matter of fact, was supposed to fight Kobe Wall for the 155 title, but was injured and replaced by, as you know, this new awesome fight, Bart Weeks and Kobe Wall, who was a teammate of Johnny's. So, hell of a show today. And then, of course, this new one against Zach Cooper, which put the crown in town. He's a dynamic guy, I got to tell you, man. Like, whether it's with the stand-up, the submissions, he's got a sick rear naked choke, got a great ground game, taking people's back, some masterful transitional moves. He's a great fighter all around, so... Matter of fact, I think he's on the line. I didn't even notice. We're going to go ahead and see if this is him. Johnny, this is you, brother.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's the man.
Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for the wonderful introduction.
Always, man. Always, man. I always love seeing you. It's been a little while. What you been up to?
Well, just the usual. Finished up school and just working on my game plan, getting strong in the gym.
I like that, man. You say you just finished up school. What'd you get? What'd you go for?
No, not like finished up completely. I still actually have one semester, but I'm out at Southern with Kobe, going for mechanical engineering.
Oh, that's phenomenal. So you work the hands on the cage and on fight night, and then you're gonna do it at the job too. I like that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So. first big question that I definitely want to ask you today, man. How's things been since you became the conflict featherweight champ, brother?
Yeah, awesome. Nothing much has changed, and I'm still in the gym every day. I want to be supposed to be doing, getting stronger. It's mostly just I'll be out and about running to people who recognize me, and. So just ask me about my life, fight stuff, when my next fight's coming up, where it's at, how to get tickets. I'll drop some names, do some free promotion for Jared and you guys. And that's fun. A little bit weird.
That's good.
Having sports just like strangers run up to me on the street like that, but I guess it's all part of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, I think eventually, I don't know what your dreams are in the sport or your goals or anything like that, long or short term, but, you know, I guess once that starts, it's rarely a bad thing. I've gone through the same thing from, you know, being in a cage and announcing fights and doing the show, and I go to shows and have people walk up to me and talk to me like they totally know me, like we go to Thanksgiving every year together, so I can relate. It's a good time, man. So you said you've been training as far as that stuff goes, keeping it keeping that consistency. Tell us a little bit about where you train. I know how the get down goes down, but I definitely love for the fans to hear about it, because you've got a lot of amazing talent in your corner and places that you train and on your team, more or less.
Yeah. Definitely got a lot of killers getting ready for fights. But as far
absolutely.
As I'm trading at, of course, most of my training gets done out of CTC in Savannah under the Tim Corbray. Wonderful coaching staff. Talented guys all at the top of their respective sports. Always working with the Finn. Did some work with Seth Marquez this camp, just working on my wrestling, becoming a little bit more aggressive, doing a little bit less waiting, just getting the takedown. Of course, training out at GSU, the GSU MMA, while I'm in school, doing what I can to maintain.
You know, I like that GSU, the stuff that they're doing down there. I mean, I like that sort of, you know, I went to Georgia Southern, and God, I don't think, other than like a freaking party or something, I don't think we could have ever organized anything back then. So I think it's awesome that that they actually have something like that going on over there, and that you got, you know, there's some people putting that kind of stuff together. Yeah, it's phenomenal. And of course, like you said, in Savannah, I mean, there isn't anywhere else to be, in my opinion, if you're in Savannah and serious about martial arts. There's no disrespect to anybody out there. I lived in Savannah. I went to college in Savannah. I trained in Savannah. And, you know, that's the only place, in my opinion, if you want legit shit, I'm just going to say it like that, you need to go to Champions Training Center, man. It really is an amazing place, in my opinion. I know a lot of guys there, and even people that don't fight, that just go there for their own personal reasons or for, you know, health, or they want to learn something new. I mean, even those people seem to be coming away with a lot more focus in their lives overall. And Mushin really does a lot over there, and I definitely have much respect for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show the influence of the coaching staff, more specifically in the Finn. demands a lot of us. So it shows another aspect. We get a lot of high-level guys coming out with them, but guys who are doing more important things in their personal lives, too, not just inside the cage.
And I think that's a big part of it, man. Like, you know you're in the right place when more than just one, you know, domino falls into place, as they say. You know, it's not just going there and being like, oh, okay, you know, these guys, or whatever gym that fighters are out there and find to call home. You know, you have to find that place that's not just like, oh, well, hey, they show me how to throw a left jab. It's got to be so much more than that. You know, when you start to see those results that maybe you learn in the gym start to apply in school, in class, in your personal relationships, maybe information and the way in which you take it in, reading, books. I mean, it has a profound effect. In my opinion, and would you say that's true of yourself since getting involved in martial arts?
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of a creature of habit, so it's like I'm in the gym training hard every day, kind of struggle with other aspects of
life. You know, that's one of the best ways to go, man. You're like the creature of habit. That's well said, man. Like, you know, you've got it set up. It's almost like you can't not do it.
Yeah, no, it becomes pretty much a compulsion at that point. Especially when you like all these other guys around you doing the best they can. On those days when you know you're too tired and you might not be down for all that work, for heading up to the gym in the morning, heading to class, coming back to the gym during lunch, going back to class, or coming back in the evening, like. But then I see all these other guys doing it. I was like, I can't go out like a punk. I gotta get back in there and grind.
Heck yeah, man. I couldn't agree more. It's like that old saying. I don't know the old saying, actually, but you know, that basic idea of training in pairs or doing your workouts in pairs. You kind of, you know, even if you hate the person, you're like, man, I'm not gonna let them get 8 more, you know, sit-ups in than me, or get this bag swinging. I don't give a damn. F that. It's super powerful.
I know exactly what you mean. Like, you mentioned we were going to have Carl Crawford on the show with me. Same situation. Get a little bit of a competitive streak going on. Like, oh man, he just submitted me. I got to get him at least twice before this round's over.
Exactly. I got 2 minutes to get two more in. I gotta get this double up. I ain't going out like this. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. It just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And you know, and here you are as the conflict featherweight champion, which I do want to jump to this fight. But before we get to the fight that's scheduled now, you actually were scheduled to face Mark Trader before this. And I'm sure, as you know, the 145 division, especially on the AMI side of the gate, is super stacked. I mean, you have to look out there and see several. They might not seem, maybe to you, like challenges, of course, but they may, you know, I don't know. But when you look out there, you have to see, to at least to some degree, that there are a lot of killers right here in the featherweight division. So I guess my question is, how do you feel about that? Do you feel about that? Or you know, is it like knock them all down, let's go?
I have my feelings about it, but it's nothing to be concerned about. It's actually the opposite. It's something that gets me excited when I am going into training, thinking about it. You can't really claim to be the best unless you're fighting the best. And for me, this is always about being the best person I could be. So it's like seeing tough guys getting stacked up across from me. It's exactly what I wanted, honestly. Like, it is an opportunity to improve myself and to prove that I am the best. So being in, like, one of the most stacked divisions in the area, it's a blessing.
Yeah, but to say that, you know, with that mentality, it lines up very flawlessly. I mean, there's some awesome dudes at 45. And, you know, this one with Paul Teague, like I said, Mark Trader got injured. You're facing Paul Teague. What do you think about Paul Teague as an opponent coming in here after this switch up? Man, I know you've had time to make those adjustments or whatever needed to be made. But what do you think about Teague as an opponent as we get, you know, we're 6 days or from fight night?
I've talked to him a bit outside of the sport. Seems like a nice guy. As far as the fight goes, I think it'll definitely be another W in the win column for me. I've seen him fight on a few occasions. He has some talent, but I don't think he's quite up to my level.
Oh, I like that. Well, it's like nicely said. Well, I like that. He's a nice guy. He's got some talent, but he ain't no Johnny Williams. That's basically what we're saying, right?
Pretty much.
I like that. You know, he is a nice guy, but fighting is certainly not about getting in there and trying to prove just how freaking nice you are. So, definitely, one of the things that I know just from you, you know, I've known you a while. I've seen you fight a couple of times. You always are a super exciting fighter. Actually, one of the things that's most interesting on a personal level between knowing you is just how fiery you can get in the cage and just how much you can get up and get after it compared to, I don't know, like the guy I was hanging out with right before the event started. You think you're always you're such a like intellectual, you know, you and I've literally sat and had some pretty serious and some pretty good conversations. And then you turn around and just become like the beast in the cage. Is that what's going to go down in 6 days? We're going to see the same thing.
Essentially, you know, I'm coming out to put on a show to show everybody just how much I've improved since the last one in December. So, yeah, no, you guys are going to see a very aggressive and technical display from me. It's going to be a lot of the same, but it's going to be a different Johnny, a better Johnny.
I like that. And you know, in your last fight against Zach Cooper, man, that was some of the best that I had seen you in. I saw your fight with Solomon, I saw the Donald Smith fight, the Eddie fight, and this Zach Cooper fight. And I got to tell you, man, you know, seeing four or five of your fights, I've been able to see that evolution. And I thought you looked fantastic in the last fight in which you claimed the crown. And I wanted to use this as a way for you to kind of talk about some things that maybe you can't because you have this title fight coming up. But when you were getting ready for Cooper and for Zach, what were some of the things that you were working on or looking to do or implement in that fight, in the last title fight?
That's a funny thing about that one is kind of just threw the game plan completely out the window. We had a very specific plan. I think everybody knew coming in that I was a better striker. Zach had his wrestling background, so they're expecting, you know, a bit more of a sprawl and brawl situation out of me and for Zach to calm down. But it was just one of those moments of adapting to the situation. I actually got in there. We got through the first exchange, and he tried to tie up with me, and then it was a sudden moment of clarity and realization that I was way stronger than he was. So, game plan just
kind of
out the window. Just started wrestling him up.
Man, that's got to be an interesting moment, man. When you tie up with somebody, and because you know what, it makes me think of if you had that moment, then one could imagine that Zach Cooper had that moment too at pretty much the same time.
I imagine.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you go to try to take down a brick wall, and then you're like, man, this wall has some sick takedown defense. That's great, man. Well, you know, one of the things that I love about this fight community is the way that it seems to pull itself together, that the great laws of attraction, man. I know you work out and train with a lot of killers, some of them on this card, and I wanted to ask, man, you are the co-main event on this bill, but your teammate, Kobe Wall, is in the main event, and arguably the biggest test to date of his. You know, they say that this last couple of fights, so, you know, I mean, I guess they all are these days. But tell us about that fight, if you can, and how you feel about that one coming up, man, because, you know, I know he's on your team and a great part of what you guys do.
Oh, yeah, I've been training with Kobe for a few years now, and never had the opportunity to spar or fight Bark Weeks. Just wasn't in the cards for us, but I've done my research since at one point we were supposed to be fighting. And in my opinion, I think this is definitely going to be Kobe's fight. This will be another win for him. Bart Weeks is a ballsy guy. Not a whole lot of punk ass in that kid. But I don't think he's technically as sound as Kobe.
Kobe is
some
a
good
very
stand
technical
up
guy.
Purple belt on the ground. I think no matter where this fight ends up, he's going to be the one setting the pace for it.
He is. That is one of his key features, is that ability to set the pace and that ability to conform. You know, the last couple of times I've seen Kobe fight, he kind of did that that John Jones, and that he beat the person where they were supposed to be the better fighter in the last couple of fights he's had. You know, if they were the better – when he fought Kyle Young was supposed to going to outstrike the shit out of him, so he stayed on his feet. You know, Lamar Brown was supposed to be the killer – wrestler, grappler, grinder, and went down and submitted him. The one before that I can't think of the top of my head, it seems like he's on this role of I don't know what the word is, man, but Kobe's definitely on a roll. I think that if you know him as well as I do, that, you know, Kobe will say he thinks a lot. He's a little bit of a worrisome character, and I think that really fuels him on these fight nights. Like, I cannot free. It's a different kind of I can't lose. You know, most people are like, man, I don't want to lose. I can't lose. I'm ready to die. With Kobe, it's like it's a little bit different. He has a slightly modified version of it, man, and which I'm sure you've experienced through knowing him like you know him.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I've known him for a while. He is definitely a little bit more critical of himself when it comes to his records. Right now, he only has that one loss from way early in his career, and has so far been undefeated in the conflict cage. So it definitely presses on his mind. It's a fuel for the fire to keep him going, for him to push through those tough moments inside the cage.
Which is huge, man. this fight coming up, 6 days. I got to ask you, man, I never assume anybody looks past anybody, but at the same time, I also know that we're all humans, And even though we may stay focused on a single person for this fight, there may be other people that we want to fight. Is that true, or is there anyone for Johnny Williams that you want to get your hands on, have a preference to fight, maybe a rematch, somebody out there you think everybody sees as the next dude and you want to, you know, take him out? Do you have anything like that, or are you literally just taking it one day at a time?
And I definitely have a list of guys. You know, decided that 45 was probably going to be my division. You know, it's not too bad of a weight cut for me, but it has me as the big guy. So it's probably where I'm going to be successful at. Done my research, not just inside the conflict cage. We've been looking around at some other promotions, NFC, VFC, trying to see who some of the next up-and-coming guys are. And, you know, I have some guys that I have some grudge matches with, some of the guys that I've lost to that I want to get back in there and just kind of prove to myself and show everybody else that that was me then, that's not me now. I'm a better fighter, and if push came to shove, the same situation would unfold again. But yeah, there are definitely some up-and-coming killers who I wouldn't mind fighting, who I know – the public that mind me fighting. So I think one of the things that I hear the most from people that I do run into in the streets who are asking about the fight game is they ask me when I'm going to be fighting Robbie. And I'm just like, as soon as possible, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because aside from obviously Mark Trader, that's probably the name that I hear the most next would be Robbie Colum. You know, he's 4-0. He fights on this card, matter of fact, this same card. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what Jared and those guys do. But I can only imagine after this fight that you'll be facing one of those two gentlemen. And I think defeating either of them would speak volumes. Now, of course, to me, being a hardcore fight record guy, when I look at everything, and this is no offense to anybody, I feel Mark Trader is the bigger threat. I think he would be the slightly more important win as far as who he has fought. You know, he has one of those great winning records. I think his overall combined opponents is something like 15-9, which is pretty awesome. Robbie's is like 3-8 of his combined opponents. Awesome dude, coming up hard, super hard. No, definitely try not to take the threat away. But I think both of those guys, you know, you put those guys on this list along with some of these other awesome dudes that you have, and I think that would be phenomenal. And, you know, Paul Teague, all the same, you know, he might not be – people might not see him as the greatest fighter in the Southeast MMA, but no one could deny that they do not see him as a you know, powerful wave going through the divisions and the scene right now. And I think that's very important, too.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Mark Trader. Yeah. He was another one of the guys on the list. We were supposed to have fought a few times already and never quite in the cards for us. But I've seen him fight on a few occasions. I like what I see. I think he'd definitely be a challenge. I think as far as his striking goes, it would be a challenge for me. I feel like we're probably around the same level of ability in that aspect. And just the fact that he's a southpaw would be something else to add a little bit more difficulty to the fight, which is, you know, at the end of the day, what I'm looking for. And same thing with Robbie Colum. I know that he has his wrestling background, so he's in a head-to-head fight against him in a grappling aspect, you know, we just completely removed jiu-jitsu from it, just talking purely wrestling, that he'd be the stronger wrestler. So I would say it's a point of interest for me, like, how would I fare against this person, you know, because I fought guys before. It started out as, okay, I've seen this cage fighting thing, it seems like something I can do, I want to give it a try. So I got in there, had a few fights, like, okay, this is definitely something I can do, prove myself right. And now it's a matter of, okay, well, what happens if I get into the cage with somebody who can't hurt me? You know, somebody who can't hurt me, but somebody who wants to hurt me, too. How well would I be playing? So just like questions I'm asking myself and I'm trying to find the answer for.
I like that, though, man. You know, you literally are embodying the whole point of
the amateur career, and which is that to go out and find, you know, those people that you feel like, hey, here's an area where they may be slightly above me, but I need to test where I'm at now because it's been a while since the last time I have. And I like the way you kind of have that mindset of going out there and testing yourself against these people. And I think that's what makes great fights. I think that's why you're the featherweight champ. And, you know, I think that that's why, you know, you've got a lot of work still to be done in the Southeast. And I love to see the way that you're mentally ready to do that. You got your list. You know, you're in the gym. You don't let the conflict goal dissuade you or change your mindset or anything. And on top of that, you're actually out there and knowledgeably looking at your opponents and getting excited about the things and the challenges that they are going to bring to the throne. And I like that, man. It seems like you really, really have this have it pieced together, man.
And then it helps when I have, like, as good of a support system as I do. I've said it before, all of the coaching staff at CGC, but of course all my training partners, Carl Crawford, who will be fighting with me next week, and Kobe Wall and all the guys out at GSU MMA helping me get the training in even when I'm away from Savannah.
That's awesome, man. Big, huge family down there. I couldn't agree more. Every time I see you guys fight, they are epic events no matter what goes down, man. As always, man, I'd like to take a few minutes to give you an opportunity to thank any, we were just kind of talking about them, any of your family, friends, other fighters, teammates, sponsors, anybody helping you prepare, get ready for this fight, and taking care of you during fight week so that we can see this amazing battle on May 16th, next Saturday.
Well, of course, my coaching staff, Mason Corbray, Seth Marquez, Norman Jones, Crew Ron, the guys who are in there working with me, making sure that I get better and holding me to a higher standard. My family and friends, of course, who are always out at the Civic Center, at the Music Vault in Hardeeville, watching me fight when I'm close to home, providing as much emotional support as I can. My brothers and sisters here out at GSU who are helping me maintain and improve when I'm away from Mason and those guys. I'd like to thank Adonis out at USA Eagle for hooking me up with some free gear this fight, having me look to fly on the way to the cage. I think that's pretty much it. Friends, family, sponsors, everybody made sure that I made it to this night.
I like that, man. You're such a smooth dude. Every time I see you, man, you've got such a calm, cool collectedness, and that seems to follow you into the cage and everywhere in between. And, you know, your ability to keep your head on straight, I think, speaks volumes about you, the people you train with, where you come from, and who you are as a person, not just a fighter. I always love seeing you fight. I always love getting a chance to catch up with you on a personal level as well, man. So I'm very, very excited to see you in a couple of days, man. Shake your hand and get in there and see how this fight's going to go down.
Definitely. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And one last question I have for you, man. I'll let you go, and we're going to jump over here and talk to your friend that you mentioned, Mr. Carl Crawford, who's got another, also one hell of a fight. I think it is the sleeper fight for this card, him versus Jordan Weeks, man. I don't think enough people realize just how exciting and amazing of a fight that is. It's kind of stuck right there in the middle of the card, man. But I've been telling people for the pet, oh, shoot, 2 weeks at least, man, like that this is going to be an amazing fight. You got anything you want to drop about him before we let you go?
Yeah. His last fight, he was coming off of a loss. And, you know, how it is with guys, either makes them or it breaks them. And it definitely made Carl. Since then, he has been in the gym every day, multiple times a day, working on every aspect of his game plan. You know, I was training at CTC before Carl showed up, so I've had the privilege of seeing him from day one all the way till now. And, you know, he's not the same guy as he was then. He's not even the same guy as he was a few weeks ago, constantly improving. I know he's coming off of a tournament win with the WKAs, just killing cats left and right, just leaving a body count of Carl Body Count Crawford.
Carl Body Count Crawford.
Yeah, just popping guys left and right in that tournament, head kick KOs every other one.
Wow.
And, you know, I showed you some of those pictures the other day of some of my battle wounds from just sparring with him. You know, he
yes.
took off like half my forehead with head pressure just wrestling. So,
he did.
Carl's
I totally can vouch for that. I totally can vouch for that. It's like he drew the map of Middle Earth on your forehead with pressure.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm gonna have this weekend in all my fight photos.
They're gonna be like, everyone's gonna be like, man, did you ever notice Johnny Williams' big birthmark on his forehead? I never noticed that.
It'll be pretty bad. It'll look like Paul T messing me up and be like, no, guys, I swear I won. I won that fight.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl Crawford. All right, Johnny, man, listen, I thank you so much for coming on the show with us today, man. I'm sure you got some awesome Mother's Day plans ahead. Any shout-outs you want to give on that front before we wrap up here?
I just want to wish her a happy Mother's Day. I did what I could today while I was still in Savannah to make it a special one on a nice, relaxing day. I just want to thank her for, A, giving birth to me, but, B, being so supportive of me. And whatever I do, whether it's school or the whole fighting thing, because that's not an easy thing to do, to come out every single time and watch essentially somebody you love get punched in the face repeatedly. But she's there, and she never complains. So
it's a beautiful thing, man, and probably one of the most powerful aspects of keeping you fueled in the cage and grabbing – Conflict Gold and more, man. We are excited to see this fight. 6 days, co-main event, Johnny Williams versus Paul Teague. It's going to be an amazing fight. On that note, my friend, I'm going to let you get back to enjoying the rest of your day. We're going to catch up with your teammate, Carl Crawford, man. We are on the countdown. My final question, how's it going down? When these fans leave out on the 28th, what are they going to be talking about in their car on the way home about this fight?
I think definitely the finish. My last one was a five-round more. And, looking at my record, I'm starting to get a little bit heavy on the decision. So I need to get back to finishing guys, get back to my roots.
That's excellent. I like getting back to the roots. And it begins this coming up Saturday. Johnny, thank you so much for taking time out, man. I look forward to seeing you. Look forward to seeing this fight and all the things that come in the future, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, man, for having me on the show.
Absolutely. All right, man. We're going to switch up the gears a little bit, but not too hard. We're going to jump over from Johnny Williams on this card, co-main event, to Carl Crawford, who I think is, like I said, in probably the most underrated fight on the whole card. Carl, what is good, my friend?
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you, man? How you feeling today on this good Sunday?
I'm good. I woke up in a good mood, went to church, had something to eat, lettuce, tuna wrap. So, you know, I'm feeling all right. Weight's coming good. Just ready to fight.
That's it, man. And, you know, that's a good first question. We'll just start off there, man. You know, this is fight week, so some people call it weight week. Everybody's got to do this and that. How are weight cuts for you? Do you end up going around and like tearing people's heads off, or have you found a way to deal with it? How does it work on your side, man?
It's been going pretty good. You know, my last couple of fights has been at like 170, so the cut's not too bad. It's usually like maybe 7 or 8 pounds I'm cutting, but when I'm fighting at 155, man, it's a grind. Definitely gotta be hard and strict on my diet. Can't eat all that crap and junk that I want to, because it's so tough. But yeah, definitely at 155, I really have to be focused and say, oh no pizza, you know, all veggies, and it's tough when you come from a family that likes to eat, you know. So yeah,
man, you ain't telling me nothing I don't know. That's what I blame the reason. Everybody's like, Eric, how come you don't fight? And that's what I blame it on. Yep. Well, I don't fight because I constantly lose the battle with food, so I never get to the battle in the cage. So, but mad props to you, man. I know it's not the easiest thing, and I don't think enough people have respect for that part of the discipline. You know, they see the discipline in the gym, but maybe not the discipline at dinner time, which is way harder. It is so much easier to listen to your sensei or your crew than it is to, like, deny an amazing butter roll sitting, like, a foot away.
Yeah, man, you gotta attack that butter roll when it's sitting there.
Yeah, you just punch it. Like, I don't need you in my life. I like that, man. You are always an exciting fighter, and here across from you, you've got Jordan Weeks, another super exciting fight. I mentioned it a couple times, but I really feel like this is one of those premier fight of the night fights for you, and I wanted to see what your perspective is on this one coming in, man. I mean, do you see this fight as like a big deal, a huge battle? Is this just something else? They're one and the same? I mean, what do you think when you look at this or heard people talking about it?
Man, I'm definitely in agreement with you. It's a sleeper fight. We're both two talented guys coming in trying to show what we're worth. And I think both of us are just technically good. And we're trying to show the world that, hey, we're going to be one of those contenders that you have to watch out for. You know, I'm not trying to make this fight super long. I'm trying to go in and get the kill, whatever. But, you know, he's a tough kid. So whatever he gives me, I'm going to take.
Get the kill, man. Speaking of getting the kill, your boy and your friend, teammate, brother-in-arms, conflict champ Johnny Williams just told us a little something about you kicking people's eyeballs out their skull. You let us know, but what's been going on there?
Oh, yeah, man. It was like probably a month ago I was doing the WKAs in Richmond, and so I had like three fights. My first two fights, I had like head kick knockouts or whatever, and up there, I was really on a mission. I was trying to prove to myself that, hey, I can stand in there and bang and get people out real quick. So the two fights were first round knockouts, and then my third one went to decision, which I thought I dominated pretty much for the most part. And so really, I'm just, you know, trying to get focused on the striking aspect of it and letting guys know, hey, I'm out of pushover. I'm wanting to take it to you, and I'm going to knock you down if you come near me. So,
absolutely, man. I actually saw a picture of the kind of pressure you were bringing on. Johnny sent me a picture of a sword where you would, like, turn him into a white dude from, like, the eyebrows up. Like, that's some hard pressure, man.
Yeah, man. We got some amazing wrestling coaches at CTC, man. Seth Marquez, Division I college athlete, man. That's all they preach is, you know, head positioning, always grinding. Like, even if you're tired, you just got to go. Like, there's no stop. Just keep going. Even if you're about to die, you gotta make that guy die before you. So, you know, that's the mentality I'm going for. I'm fighting, you know?
No, no doubt. And that's a great mentality to have, especially for this fight. You know, like I said earlier, it's definitely the sleeper fight on the card for me. Easily, when I look at the card, it could have been the third fight at the top, you know, because I, you know both these guys, tons of respect to both these guys. And actually, unless I'm mistaken, I did not see the first fight, but I saw every one of them just about after them, or maybe two of them after that, two or three of them. And you have come a long way since Conflict 17, which I think was the first time I've seen you, and keep on improving. And, you know, there's this whisper on the wind going around, you know, especially as we get on fight week, that we're about to see a new and the best, hands-down, Carl Crawford that has ever stepped into any cage on any fight night.
Yeah, man, definitely. Since that October fight, I've just been literally in the gym, just grinding, getting everything I can out of my coaches, picking their brains for the little things that I've messed up that I can improve on, adding in everything. You know, it's mixed martial arts. You can't just be a striker. You got to be on that ground, being able to pop up if somebody takes you down and being able to take that person down. It speaks volumes to who we have in the gym. It's like, 2 years ago, I started doing this, and, man, I've I've improved so much, and it's because of Champions Training Center that I'm at the level that I am today. Coaches, everybody, they push me. All I can do is give it back what they're giving me. And this weekend, I'm going for the kill, man. Got to.
That's it, man. You know, I couldn't agree more. I like I said earlier in the show, I lived in Savannah, trained in Savannah, went to college in Savannah. And, if martial arts, single sphere or combined, is what you're looking for, CTC is the placement. To be honest with you, even if you're not in Savannah, I mean, anywhere in the far surrounding area, you should be bringing yourself there. It's great people. And a lot of people don't even realize that some of their favorite champs, number one contenders, guys in the Southeast, come from that gym. There's more people out of that gym than some people realize, including your partner, Johnny Williams, who's the 145 champ. And I definitely want to ask you, how do you see that fight going down? You know Paul Teague, you know Johnny Williams. When you look at that fight on the outside, and you're a little more free to talk about it than Johnny was, who's on the show earlier, how do you see that fight playing out?
I think it's going to be an amazing fight. Johnny, he's my teammate, of course. You know, he brings it every week. Even when he's not here in Savannah, I know he's down at GSU getting good work. He's got Kobe to train with, and Kobe's a champion. He's been there. He's able to help Johnny out in situations where he may not be confident in. So definitely I see Johnny going out, being Johnny, going forward, being aggressive. He has that go. Like, his cardio is amazing.
It really is. He's one of those guys. He's one of those few guys to me that makes the ground aspect of the fight feel as exciting and wild. I say wild and not in a non-technical way, but in an excitement for the crowd way. But when he takes fights to the ground, they stay as exciting as it was when it's on the feet. And I don't think a lot of fighters are able to do that, man. I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. His motor's always running. Like, even if he's on the ground, he's punching, he's moving, he's making sure that he's in that position where he can throw strikes or get that submission. And even if he's on bottom, like, he'll make sure he's popping up, getting to the cage, and once he's up, he's starting to throw strikes or just getting off. And yeah, I pay homage to him, man. He's definitely one of the best. Yeah,
has that rubbed off on you in any way? Is that training with Johnny? Have you seen some of that stuff coming down to you as these past 2 years have gone by?
Yeah, definitely. My motor has picked up. My coach likes to say that I'm a slow, strong grappler, where I'm looking to get in that position and use my strength to get to that submission. But nowadays, I'm starting to move. I'm getting to that position where I have to scramble and get, be fast and sense of urgency, and that. I give that to Johnny. He's really, that part is rubbing off on me a lot.
Aside for the actual you rubbing the skin off of his head part.
Yeah, maybe I have some of his DNA stuck on me now or something. I don't know.
And there you go. Supercharged, man. This is going to be an awesome fight, man. I know that, you're stoked. Johnny said something to me, matter of fact. And I wanted to ask this. He mentioned that, when a fighter loses a fight, almost every time we come to this point where it makes them or it breaks them. I've seen guys lose, never return. I've seen guys lose and take 2-3 years off. And then we've seen guys lose and rise up and become better than they ever were before. And Johnny feels like the third one is happening to you, man, that you are completely lit up since this last fight. Can you describe a little bit about how you feel from your own words on this topic?
Man, the feeling of losing is tough, especially when you like to win. And that's why I love to be. I love to win, man. So taking that L, really just it motivated me. It made me want to get in the gym and perfect the things that I'm not good at. And I really wanted to showcase in that October fight that, yeah, you can lose, but you still got to fight. Like, life is, you can't give up on life, You gotta go. And so I really wanted to just show everybody that that loss isn't going to define me as a person. It's only going to make me better. My teammates and coaches, they were there. They were like, yo, you know, that loss, is, it don't mean nothing. You know, you're an amateur, but don't let that, if you take that loss with you, life's going to haunt you. You got to just rub it off and just keep going. The next one, prove to everybody that you're better than that, that loss made you seem. So I've been in the gym, man, just getting better, putting everything together, strikes to wrestling, to ground, you know, getting back up, going at them, you know. Ain't no sitting back no more, waiting for them to come to me. It's me coming to them, taking a fight to them. Got to be a bulldog, man. You got to be a bulldog.
I love that, man. You couldn't ask for better. It sounds like exactly the kind of thing that we love to hear from people like that. Matter of fact, I think I want to break into this a little bit more. We've got a little bit of time. Johnny, are you still on here too, man? All right, maybe I don't know if he's still there. Johnny, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
All right, awesome, man. I want to bring in on this for a second, if I could, first of all. We got Johnny Williams and Carl Crawford both live right now. So thank you guys both for that.
No problem.
One of the things, we were talking about the power of a loss. We were just talking to Carl. I actually didn't get a chance to ask you this, but I wanted to totally ask now that it's brought up. I think it's a fair point. When you took the unanimous decision loss, against Eddie Miller, did you have a similar response? I mean, what happened in those days and weeks after that for you, Johnny, getting back in the cage, similar to what Carl said?
Well, that whole fight started way before Eddie himself, actually. I'd had two before that. One back in July of 2014, which was my first loss to date. I'd gone 4-0 right at that point. Was starting to venture out and fight for some other promotions. I was fighting for a combat night down in Florida. Lost a split decision. Kind of messed with me a little bit. Lost a title shot for the same promotion about 2 months later. So kind of left me in a weird place mentally. And so coming
right
into that fight, I mean, I was physically there, but just didn't show up mentally. Ended up losing a very one-sided fight to Eddie Miller, and it just left a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, the first two losses were already a bad taste, but, you know, it was just not the way that I would ever want to lose a fight. Nobody ever really wants to lose a fight, but, you know, at least you can go out on your sword, essentially, put on a good show, make it a close fight, but that was just a one-sided domination, and it didn't fit well with me. I had to get back in there and prove to myself and everybody else that that was not me, and that I had more to offer than what I showed that night.
Absolutely. I think some of that showed in the title fight with Zach Cooper. I mean, I think there was a good level of dominance on your side on that, just to speak freely from my own opinion. You know, I thought you kind of came back in and reversed that to me.
Yeah, I mean, I felt strong during that fight. Felt, for lack of a better word, a sense of almost being, got in there and was just really at home, found a sort of peace of mind. I think that's probably a lot of the reason why it was such a dominant performance. I was calm, collected, and controlled for all five rounds.
That's great. Now, I want to ask you both you guys this. We'll start with Carl, man. You guys have obviously been getting some good work in together. Carl, I'll start off with you, man. Do you think this Saturday we're going to see the best Johnny Williams that we've seen yet?
Oh, man, absolutely. Johnny's been working his tail off, man. He came in on wrestling Thursday, and I saw something out of Johnny that I'm scared of. I'm scared Paul Teague is not going to be ready for, man. He's definitely going to bring it. Like I said, he's got a motor that just keeps on going, and he's going to take the fight right to Paul Teague. Only thing he has to worry about is that, you know, spinning back fist, and I think he's ready.
The end, that'll live on for all time, dude. It was like one of the most wildest amateur fight moments to ever happen.
Definitely, yeah.
I see Mark all the time, and like anytime he gets to like giving me lip or being a sassy ass, I just bring that up. I do it all the time. I'm like, bro, don't catch this backhand, cause you know how you get. So I guess as long as I don't let him armbar me directly afterward, it'll be all right. I took it there.
He's not gonna live that down, honestly.
Oh, which I'll tell you, a true story, man, while we're here, true story. I was rolling with Mark, I guess about a month ago, actually here at my house. He came over to get his ass kicked in Mortal Kombat 10. It was the only way I can kick his ass. We were rolling, and first thing happens right off the bat is he gets me in an arm bar, and I say to him, I say, all right, now, I'm not Paul Teague. Step over, get back, and then I threw a couple of fake spinning back fists at him, and, you know, that was about the end of it. So, it was great. He's a good guy, man. It's always interesting when you meet these guys. They're such, like, beasts, just like you, Johnny. You know, like, I've hung out with you outside the venues and chatted and stuff, and you know, we're talking about Dragon Ball Z and shit like that, and then you go in there and straight murder somebody. So, you know, there's always so much more to these fighters out here than just throwing hands and stuff. And I've always liked that. And CTC seems to be filled with character and personality, like, to the brim, man.
Definitely. You'd be hard-pressed to find another place like it.
And no doubt, absolutely. Johnny, I want to thank you for hanging on the line, man, so I could get that question in. Of course, man, not that you need any luck, but best of it to you. And I definitely cannot wait for this fight in just a few days. I was excited for the Trader Johnny Williams fight, and I'm excited for this one. And, man, I can't wait to just continue to have the pleasure, the opportunity, and, to be honest, the privilege of following your fight career. So thank you very much, man.
Thanks, man. It's always a pleasure coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, man, one of the things I definitely want to ask you here before we wrap up is, you know, Jordan Weeks, definitely a well-known fighter, trains at somewhat Sore Sumrit, Murder Squad kind of guy. You know, he brings a lot to the table. Obviously a perfect challenge for you. You know, we know the kind of fighter you are. You love to take a challenge. Almost all your fights have been as such. What are you expecting to see out of yourself in this fight that you maybe haven't seen in the past? Like, what is the great challenge here for Carl Crawford?
Pretty much just to be there all the way, like, just throw myself into the fire, whether it be not giving up when I'm down in a round, or going, like, if it gets to the third round and it's 30 seconds left, not caring and going balls to the wall and putting the hurt on them. Definitely try to push the pace and just keep constant pressure on them. Incorporate everything I've learned. At the end of the day, as long as I feel satisfied with how I fought, then win, lose, or draw, man, I'm going to be at a good place at the end of it. And I hope the fans, you know, see that I'm not just some guy trying to step into a cage, that I'm here and it's for real, it's serious, you know.
I like that. Now, I can tell by the way you said it, it's serious. I like that. And I think that's a good point to make, you know. In all fairness, we can say that MMA has blown up in the mainstream especially, and then we do have a, we'll say, more than we used to, We have a wave of people who come in and, you know, they train a little bit, maybe not at all. Maybe they train after they get their first fight set up. They start to train for that fight. But we have seen a wave of people who maybe don't take it as serious, or maybe take it a little more lackadaisical, or just want to get in there and pretend to be a fighter. And we can definitely say that Carl Crawford is as far away from that corner of fighter as possible, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to be placed in that group where a guy just comes in one fight and says, yeah, I did that fighting thing. You know, I beat somebody up. You know, give me love, give me praise. Nah, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to make this as a career. And if you want to do that as a career, you got to put your whole heart into it. And so you have to put in that training. You have to put in that time and sacrifice. And it's tough. But if that's what you want to do, then you got to go for it. And this is what I want to do. So I'm not some clown at the bar like, oh, yeah, I can fight. You know, all the girls come to me like, that's stupid. I'm down for the fight.
I can agree with the sacrifices that we make in MMA. You know, I make tons of them every day. It's like doing the show and writing. You know, that's less time I'm playing my PlayStation 4. So you can tell the level of sacrifice that I'm willing to give. I make myself laugh. And I'm sure that yours is actually way more legit and way more amazing. And I would guess to say that you've thought a lot about this, man. I would guess to say that, you know, the challenges, all jokes aside from my PlayStation 4 joke, you know, this fight life eats up a lot. It eats up a lot of time. Even somebody like myself who just covers MMA, who just does a show or maybe does announcing at fights and stuff, it still takes a good portion of my time up doing the research aspect. I could not imagine being a fighter. I mean, that's got to be almost a full-on fight life 24/7, even when you're not there, even when you're at the work, at the job, making that paper, paying the bills and stuff. I mean, it's still got to be there in your mind and some place you're about to go. I mean, talk to us a little bit about how that's had an impact on your life since you decided to take this serious and make those sacrifices.
Yeah, it's been hard. You know, you got to cut off some people, some friends that aren't down for what you're trying to do. Spending time with your girlfriend, your loved ones, you don't really have that time. You have to be in the gym, especially if you have a fight coming up. You know, you can't be out there getting drunk as much as you want to. You have to take it serious. It's not a joke. Like, I don't find getting punched in the face as a game. Like, it's real. Like, being an amateur, you still gotta work, make that money, like you said. And it's tough, especially when you're hungry and you hate everybody. But that's another sacrifice you got to make, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. All those sacrifices that we make for the glory, man, it makes us stronger. It makes us better, not just as men, but as people, as humans, mentally, physically. I mean, you know, this is one of those things that is forever life-changing and will continue to do so, as you've seen, and bring so many blessings because you become involved in something that's bigger than just you. Whether that's in the gym or whether that's the dream shared by those who support you, your fans, or it's an internal thing, there's always an elevation and always a respectable change in people who chase this kind of dream and would take it as seriously as you do, and who also understand the value of what they bring to other people. You know, I've always said as a commentator, every time I have fighters on, they say, oh, thank you for having me on the show. And all I can feel is like, you know, thank you. You're the one that's going to get in the cage. You're the one that's going to make these sacrifices and put your life and your time on the line. And fans get so excited to see that when the cage closes. I mean, you're the one giving that to them. And I hope that when you see that, realize that, feel that in your heart or see that in the community around you, that it sort of balances out the times that you weren't able to spend with your family, your loved ones, and had to give it to the gym, that you're able to see that, man. I really hope so.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels good to, you know, have fans to lift you up, even boost your morale, even when you're feeling down. Like if you're walking out the street and someone knows you from what you do in the cage, you know, them saying, hey, I appreciate you getting in the cage and putting on a show for us, that definitely lifts you up and makes you feel better. And like you said, it's tough trying to fight, but I mean, if that's what you want to do, then do it. And the fans will come along, the people that want to be in your life and that love you and that understand what you're doing, they'll be around, like, you know. So yeah, it's definitely a blessing, man. I got set up in a great gym, Champions Training Center, with my coach, Masin Corbray, teammates like Josh, Wes, Johnny. Definitely been placed in a good spot. Now it's up to me. It's up to me to carry that load and pretty much show the world who Carl Crawford is, and that's what I plan to do.
That's it. You got to take the torch that's been passed to you and use it to set some fires.
Yes, definitely.
I like that, man. And listen, I want to thank you so much for taking time out on this good Sunday to speak with us. I know you got a lot going on. I know we're right here on Fight Week. And like I said, I think this is the sleeper fight. I've always loved watching you fight. And when I saw your name on this card, I was super stoked. I got nothing but love for all my CTC family. Like I said, came up in Savannah. So I actually had some friends of mine close friends of mine who went to CTC, Federico Cali, some guys like that. And of course, getting to know all you fighters. Very stoked about Johnny's fight. Watching him a long time, and I've seen your come up, that rise, man. And I'm ready to see this fight because I really think it is true Clash of the Titans status. I know all the hardcore fans out here are stoked about Williams versus Teague, stoked about Weeks versus Wall, and definitely stoked about Jordan Weeks versus Carl Crawford, man. So I'm gonna drop the hammer on you, give you the last word. If you got anything, anybody you want to thank, friends, family. Anything like that we need to hear about, man, we'd love to hear it, brother.
Yeah, definitely. First, I want to thank you for letting me on the show, man. It's definitely a blessing to be on here and talk and let everybody know who I am somewhat, a little bit, to dive into the mind of Carl Crawford. I definitely want to thank my gym, CTC, Champions Training Center, Masin Corbray, an amazing coach, an amazing guy. Don't want to blow his head up too big because it's already big enough. But, you know,
ooh,
without him,
huge.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, man, without him, I wouldn't have none of these tools. And I'd like to thank his coach, Master Lloyd, you know, the whole Lloyd Irvin down in Baltimore, Maryland, and Manuto, our head striking coach in Muay Thai. Definitely, I want to thank those guys for passing it on. And, man, just thank God that I'm here and I'm able to do this, and my loving girlfriend Megan, who's there for me, supporting me, and even through the hard times of dieting, she's there to lift me up. So definitely want to thank all of them and my teammates, obviously. Johnny, who's fighting, he's gonna retain that title. Josh, Wes, who just did the tough tryouts. Two amazing pros that everybody should look at, and just the whole family, man. This is our year. We're coming forward.
I gotta tell you, I couldn't agree more, man. I think Josh Blodden and Wes sheer velocity. I think Wes Barnes, those two guys are absolutely for two guys who have dreamed for so long and watching them fight for so long on the Emmy side and change pro and have the success that they have. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's inspiring to the Southeast, and I know it's inspiring to you, Lloyd Irvin, and CTC guys to see that happen and continue. I think it's a great thing. Right now, I believe we're still on the campaign to get Musin back into the UFC. So all you guys listening, all you CTC fans out there, this is a double CTC episode, so I know we got y'all on the air today. I see y'all over there in the corner, all y'all listening. So make sure you get an opportunity to support that, support Musin on his rise, the second coming, as we call it, and also to make sure to check out Johnny Williams and Carl Crawford, man. It's going to be two awesome fights on a stack card going down in 6 days. I got one last question for you, then we're going to ride. Carl, It's fight week. It's weight week, brother. How's the weight? You coming into this one smooth? You looking right? You feeling good? What's that? How we feeling?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling amazing. Like I've been telling everybody, I feel how Anthony Johnson is feeling. You know, he said at 205 he doesn't have to worry about, you know, if he's eating right, if he ate enough or did he eat too much. He's just worried about training, and that's how I feel, man. That's all I have to focus on is training and getting better, getting those techniques, what I'm going to do during the fight and not have to worry about, you know, the water intake. Am I overeating? I feel good. The weight's going to come off smoothly, and we'll see Friday if everybody's ready for these abs that are about to burst out, you know?
I like that. No, listen, man, will you bring me one? Because, I mean, I'll just take just one. You could just pop one off and throw it over to me. I'll be good
to go.
Sure,
man. You know, I always have extra to give, so I'll definitely give you one half at least.
I appreciate that, man. And in return, I'll give you the best in-cage interview of all time. So it's fair trade.
Cool. Yeah, man, definitely.
That's great, man. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Carl. Same thing with Johnny as well, man. Two of the most hardworking guys, and I think great examples of what they got going on in CTC and some of the amazing talent in Savannah and the surrounding area. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Carl. And we look forward to seeing you in 6 days, man, in the cage, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. You guys, make sure to check out Carl Crawford Jr. If you want to find him on Facebook or you want to stalk him, that's Carl Lee Crawford Jr. Type it into the box. Johnny Williams, that's J-O-H-N-N-I-E Williams. Probably the coolest version of spelling Johnny ever. You'll know when you get there, the badass will be punching you right in the face. Of course, you can always check out War of the Words. You type it into the same beautiful white box. We know you're on Facebook. Everybody is. And you'll get there. You'll see the Guy Fawkes match. You can also check us out, blogtalkradio.com/War of the Words interviews. Of course, we will be in the house, and you should be too. Conflict 28, May 16th, going down in 6 freaking days. You want to see these two badasses burn it up and more. Make sure you're there, Hardyville, at the Music Vault. It's going down. It's just on a hop and skip over the Georgia line into South Carolina, so make sure you are there. You can get your tickets at ConflictMMA.com, as well as read up on some great articles about these fights and more. As far as for myself, all my sponsors, I'm not even going to list them today because you know what? Today's sponsors were the badassness of Johnny Williams and Carl Crawford. They sponsored the show today. They kept it rolling. Matter of fact, when we do tomorrow's show, it'll still be running off the fuel of the hotness we heard today. This is number 107. You know I'm going to hit you with that J. Cole on the ride out because I know some of y'all are bumping. Haven't had a chance to change it up, but I love ending my show with this jam, man. It's just got that good vibe, that good juice. So I want to thank Johnny Williams, Carl Crawford for coming on the show, and, of course, myself for my own amazing, beautiful talent. Number 107, my friends. Yeah.
Now I was dreaming about a deal at the age of 13. I was fiending for the meals, I ain't talking Burger King. Some of my niggas in the bill, all they did was surfing. Fuck girls, I had skills all day rehearsing. Them pretty boys had them girls, spent their time flirting. All they wanted was some waves like they fucking surfing. Hold up, now don't get it twisted, I ain't hating, do your thing. I was like a young Simba, couldn't wait to be the king. Now a nigga is the prince. Hopped over the fence with a grass way greener. Look at Shawty ass way meaner. Something like Serena mixed with Trina. Have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard. Word to Adina. My money like a senior. Watch it graduate. Now it's time to eat. I'm letting all my niggas grab a plate. Gravitate the real shit. Stay away from phonies. These niggas heard about me. Now they acting like they know me. Keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Hey. It ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Gone, nigga. Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom. Hello to the top.
Pardon the interruption. A proper introduction is necessary when your shit is legendary, man. Greedy niggas wouldn't let me in the cafeteria, cause they ain't believe. Suddenly they Presbyterian. The hoes is librarians, they looking me up. She got a Jones like Marion, she licking me up. Then we cut, look how she say my name. I got a moaning J. Cole, they used to say Jermaine. I never changed, I'm like a corpse in a coffin, 6 feet, shit deep. I was low, just a dollar and some hope, fix me. Cause I was broke, plus the weed that I would smoke would make it worse. Lord, please let my problems disappear like Ron Mercer. I'm a star, converses, conversing with them girls with them curves like curses. They open like curtains, cause my shit is unheard of like curses on the radio. Same bitches used to play me though, and now they yelling, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, hey, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Going, nigga. It ain't no telling. Yeah, I can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom. Yeah, hello to the top. I left the city for a minute, but it's still on my back. Told my niggas, hey, I'm finna put the veil on the mat. I'll be back, and I'm coming with a deal and a plaque. Cause I'm ill, bitch, they couldn't make a pill for the rat. Pouring liquor for my niggas that was killed in the back. Came home, shit is real, niggas still in the trap. Hold up now, don't get it twisted. If you slang, do your thing. Me, I'm like a young Simba, I can't wait to be the king. Witness the drink, straight out that Carolina water. I was brought up in the city where the skinny niggas trying to be the ballers. Ain't no fathers, but the skinny niggas trying to hit their daughters. Sneaking in the crib, but a mama never caught us. What they taught us, man, them bad bitches only want the ballers, the starters. We hooping now, the hoes wanna guard us. Okay, so play deep, know what I mean. And I put you on a team, man. This life is but a dream, and I need a fast car. Bad bras, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? It ain't no telling. Yeah, they say this life is but a dream. Well, I need a fast car. Bad bro, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? Yeah, it ain't no telling.